Reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, I was serving a church up in Minneapolis and had a large Christian day school with it. And one day, a couple of second or third grade boys happened to be going down the hall as they were heading out to recess. And these two boys started to scuffle and fight a little bit and started to shove each other into the wall, and the teacher screamed out at them, "Christians don't act like that!" And the boys separated, and after school that day, there was a gentleman that happened to be down in the hallway and heard that, and he decided to go have a conversation with the teacher, and he said to her, So when you tell two little boys that Christians don't act like that and they were just acting like that, what is that saying to them? She said, well, they shouldn't act like that. And he said, well, that's right, they shouldn't. But when you say Christians don't act like that and they are, you're saying they're not Christians. She never thought of it that way. When I was in seminary, one of the professors often quoted an old expression, and that goes like this: be careful not to paint the portrait of a Christian as if he or she is someone who never sins. Christians do, at times, fall back into sinful actions and words and thoughts and so on. There's a tremendous tension that lives inside of the heart of a believer in Christ. It even shows up in little children. On the one hand, as Paul says, there's this great love for God, this great love for our Savior and what he's done for us, appreciating that he went to the cross to pay for all of our sins, appreciating his grace and his mercy that it's going to someday take us right up into heaven. And yet at the same time, there's this tension inside of us that hates God, hates the things of God, doesn't want to have God ruling over us, wants to do what we want to do, wants to follow our own impulses and sinful urges and desires. And so there's this constant battle and war that is going on inside the heart and mind of a Christian. In the text before us, St. Paul uses a very interesting Greek word. I'm going to read you the word because you can actually hear some English in it. Antistratuomai. Antistratuomai. It's a word that literally means, in our translation today, anti-strategy. In other words, when one side has a strategy heading in one direction and someone else comes in with an anti-strategy, who actually wages war then on that type of thinking. And that's the exact word that Paul uses to describe this tension between the new man that loves Christ and wants to believe and trust in him and follow his will, and the old Adam inside of us that hates that and is forcing against that. And sometimes that battle can be pretty tough. Sometimes it can wage war on us to such a degree that it really beats people down and really makes the Christian almost want to give up. I remember years ago listening to an interview that had to do with the subject of pornography. And it was an interview with Dr. James Dobson, who's a Christian psychologist, taught at the University of Southern California years ago. And he claimed that of all the studying and counseling and talking to counselors that he had done and to pastors through the years, that there's probably been no other sin that has caused more Christian men to leave the Christian faith than that sin of lust, because it's just too hard after a while. They just develop such a self-loathing about their guilt that they just can't deal with it anymore, a self-hatred. The struggle between the old Adam and the new man that goes on inside of the Christian is not something that is new and just for us today in this modern day and age. Through all times, you can see this stretched out through the pages of Holy Scripture. Look at all of the incidents that God lays out for us, even back at the time of the patriarchs. Noah is spared by God along with his family as he's placed in the ark, commended for his tremendous faith. 23 verses later, he's drunk in his tent and naked. Lot is spared by God in the destruction coming on Sodom and Gomorrah for all of its evil and wretchedness. He's spared because of his faith. 10 verses later, he's having incestuous relations with his daughters. David shows tremendous kindness and mercy toward Mephibosheth. 19 verses later, he's committing adultery with Bathsheba. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. 20 verses later in Scripture, he's denying he even knows Jesus or has anything to do with him. So this struggle is not just real to us today. It's something that's been throughout the ages. Back in the 200s AD, There was an author by the name of Cyprian. I'd like to read what he said about this battle. He says, "There is a struggle and a daily contest between the flesh and the spirit, so that we do not do the things we want to. Since the spirit seeks heavenly and divine things, but the flesh lusts after earthly and worldly things." Now here's what we need to understand. This battle, this very battle, is the life of the Christian in this world. This battle is the life of the Christian in this world. If you came upon a car accident and there were numerous people involved in the cars in the accident, the ones who are crying out in pain are the ones who are still alive. The fact that we experience the pain and the tension in our consciences and in our souls and spirits of having to deal with our sin, God says that's a healthy sign. That means that the Spirit is alive in the believer, recognizing the things that are contrary to the will of God. It's not the sin that is healthy, but the fact that our sin bothers us, that's what is healthy. Now, there's in fact a danger sign when your sin no longer troubles you, when your conscience no longer cares about your sin. That's when it becomes dangerous. When your sin has become so willful and deliberate and planned, and you look forward to it, and you don't even think about it, and it doesn't even trouble your conscience anymore, that's when there should be red flags going up for us. Listen to what Dr. Walther says. "If a Christian allows sin to rule him or her, this is a sure sign he is not a Christian, but a hypocrite, no matter how pious he pretends to be." Some of you in class have heard me use the illustration of a friend of mine who used to put his cigarette out in his hand. And after a while, he developed about the size of a quarter, a scab there, a scar. And I said, "Doesn't that hurt?" And he said, "No, I did the first so many times that I did it, but now it's dead. All of the nerve endings are dead." Think of that with our consciences. When our consciences first are faced with certain sins, they may be troubled and bothered, but if we do them enough, if we do them long enough and often enough, we lose sensitivity. We die. Our spirit dies. Our conscience dies, and it's no longer troubling to our consciences. That's the dangerous sign. When you look at your life and you are willfully heading into sin and you just don't care, and your conscience no longer troubles you or aches you at all, that is a serious, dangerous warning sign. In Scripture, God is sure to include for us all of the sins of his saints. You can't really find a prominent name in Scripture that doesn't also include something about his or her sins as well. And St. Paul opens his heart to us so beautifully in this text today, expressing this tremendous tension that goes on in the heart of a Christian. And he finally gets to the point where he's virtually throwing up his hands, and he says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? What hope do I have? What could ever possibly rescue someone as wicked and evil as I am from this body of death?" But then he provides the beautiful answer: "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I've been at different sporting events or concerts where all of a sudden someone becomes very ill and paramedics have to rush in. And if you ever watch a paramedic in those situations, you can tell that their whole training and everything about them at that moment, every bit of material that they bring to the scene, has to do with taking care of someone who is sick. It's all designed around the illness and the sickness. If you look at Christianity, if you look at what pastors are supposed to do, what the means of grace are all about, it's designed about sin, around sinful people, people who struggle with their weaknesses and with their sins and are going to die someday. God has designed the entire Christian faith to deliver to you, to land on you with his mercy and forgiveness and compassion in Christ. That's what it's all about. The whole thing is designed around sinful, weak, struggling people to forgive us and take us to heaven. It's as if God says to us, even though your personal life of sanctification is a constant battle in this life, up and down, take heart to know that your justification before God is entirely accomplished through the work of Christ. I don't know about you, but I look forward to getting to know Don Molstead without any sin. It's probably what a lot of you wish to know too. Won't it be something to get to know us, the church of God in this world, but without any sin, to be able to look in the mirror without any guilt? Live for that day. You have it now through Christ. Live for that day in heaven above where we will be in glory and all of this struggle and tension will be gone. Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.